Do you, any of you ever watch The Vicar of Dibley? That pretty,
yes.
Well, after she was reluctantly hired to do the job, I think on her very first service, she was asked what drew her to be a minister. And she said, the Beatitudes. Do you remember that? I always remember that. When you think about the Beatitudes, this reading today might well be named the Blessed and the Not So Blessed. It's a reading which begs us to rethink, to reimagine what the world has taught us about the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots, the powerful and the powerless, the voiced and the voiceless, and this I added, the legal immigrants and the undocumented people. I added that because the news is so full of Minnesota these days. For most of us, this is extremely hard to envision as we look around at our world and see the ways in which the wealthy and the powerful are forgetting the words of Jesus and how we are measured being blessed by what we have accumulated and acquired. So let's put this into context. The book of Matthew is directed towards the group of new Christians, which are forming after some pretty big disasters have occurred. The temple has been destroyed by the Roman occupiers. The people are scattered. Jesus has been murdered. The people are in free fall, wondering what laws will now govern their community. And what will this new community look like? And in our own time, what is the good news for those of us trying to remain faithful in this new world order which is emerging? What was Jesus saying to those gathered at the foot of the mount that day? Well, by now we know that our Jesus, as he so often does, turns our preconceived notions of blessing on its head. Most of us would equate being blessed with being well, and by extension, by being happy. But Jesus seems to be saying that the happy ones are those who are poor in spirit. We think happiness is to not be sad. But Jesus seems to say those who mourn will be happy. We think it's the powerful who are happy. But again, Jesus is saying it is the meek, the humble, the merciful, and those who are peacemakers who will be happy. He's also saying it is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are pure in heart, who will be happy. I think you may be getting where I'm going with this. What a difference between what we think and what Jesus is saying. If I reread for you this same passage from the Message, do you know the Message? Yes, you're familiar with the Message. It's not really a Bible, but it's a modern day interpretation of the words. And when you read them, sometimes you get a whole different concept of what's going on. So this I will read from the Message for you. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and he taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You are blessed when you are content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. You are blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. God's food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You are blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You are blessed when you get inside your world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You are blessed when you commit, when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you or discredit you. It means that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I, God, do. And all heaven applauds and knows that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into that kind of trouble. Wow. That is a totally different take. And I thought about it and I thought, what is Jesus talking about? And it is God's love. God's love for everybody. God's love for creation. God's love is liberating. It breaks open the rules set by society, the ones which tell us that the powerful people reach the top. Those with wealth are blessed. And God's love is transformative. Those the world treats with contempt, those seen as weak and lonely, they are loved and blessed. God's love is revealed to us in the simplicity of Jesus' life, the one who, in the eyes of the world, seemed weak and powerless, yet the one in whom God's power and love were made manifest. In the days ahead, as we wander onto our own path towards Easter and the resurrection, I would invite you to think about the words from the message. The words from the message are no longer speaking to the crowds gathered at the foot of the mountain. In modern day language, they are speaking directly to you and to me. If you can consider that, and you can commit to following Jesus, then it's up to us to be sure that Jesus' words are realized in this world now more than ever. And if that's too big a commitment for you, then it's up to us to make the necessary changes in our own lives. So you might be asking, how can we do that? Well, how about we start by changing the word beatitude to be an attitude? I said it, yes. Let's get a little bit of attitude going. It's so nice to be Canadian and called nice. They're such nice people, such polite people. But I'm finding lately, watching what's going on in this world, that being nice is no longer enough. Micah said it today. God's first request was to seek justice. And next comes being kind. And of course, walking humbly with God. I turn on the news. I see what's going on. You see what's going on. And I think perhaps without being radical and as little less political as possible, I'm asking you, if you could do nothing, please use your voice. Speak up. Do not sit in silence. That already happened once in this world. Let's you and me be be a true blessing to others, to God, as God is to us, and to creation. That's my rant for today. Thank you.